New Poetry and Prose. Englynion. Englyn i ysgol ramadeg Pontardawe. Byd ben, byd bont, byd bywyd yr ysgol, ar ysgwydd serth y byd, calon oer, y calon clyd, dewr y naid, dawr enid. Englyn to Pontardawe Grammar School, Poetic Translation Without Technique. Learn and cross a bridge to life, a school on the world's steep shoulder, heart of trust, the first dawn's warmth, a brave leap from the moment. Miltonian Sonnets and Prose. Three Ravens. The raven of the ruined village scoured like a crazed developer for meat, for earth, nurture, voices, enlightenment buried by a litter of ugly cars. The raven of the mountain slope listened for an ancient language among branches, winter's black branches, silhouetted, stark in silent desolation without talk. The raven of the ancient pathway circled above innocence, unspeaking children, and searched for any scrap of succulence in arid vehicular wilderness. Three ravens had flown from an ancient wrong, the harsh notes of progress, their silent song. Prose cameo, The Dusk. It was beginning to rain again, so a battered coat with no buttons was drawn tightly in an effort to keep dry. Stepping out onto the road, a large unseen car flashed by, caring nothing for anyone in its path on this narrow mountain road meant for people in the far distant past. The pavements were blocked by cars of great ugliness, caring nothing for the lives of children and nothing for a now unspoken language. The cold wind turned the skin a raw red, so a hood was drawn to keep it out, images of an Antarctic journey in a small and dismally painted village. Its architecture was so ugly that it must have taken imagination to design it, a kind of failed Taliesin, Frank Lloyd Wright gone awfully wrong. The wind blew over the top of the hill and lashed the rain into a frozen face. The wind was very ancient. It came from the Atlantic, often in a giant storm that descended on the traveller. The people hid from it in front of very large television screens, manufactured by the Ministry of Truth. They stayed there all night long, listening to mass-produced trivia and hiding from nature. The ground was sodden with water and ancient mud that stank with effluent from a rubbish tip thrown randomly on a bog many, many decades ago. Stinking lorries full of rubbish came from everywhere to the ancient village and dumped the cess of a mad society on its beauty. Children used to play happily among this rubbish, which lay just below the surface of a stagnant stream that tried and failed to wash away the insoluble and stinking poisons. This stream had to be crossed, nose held tightly, to reach a stagnant and decaying council estate in which once proud miners lived in semi-secrecy, nurturing their ancient language. Stagnant pools of rainwater lay on a sodden path until a gate made purely of rust was swung open, a right of way. It had been rusting for a century. Playgrounds had been ripped apart by vandals long ago. Civilization was was always being vandalized in this desolate landscape. Nihilism ruled the day. Out of some ticky-tacky houses stared the people who had once been coal miners. There had been no industry for 60 years. The miners were buried in progress rather than by a rock fall. In order to escape the man-made desert, a path was found towards the mountainside through another rusting right-of-way falling off its hinges. Through a small farm and up the steep slope, water poured down the path from an ancient road made again for walking, along which cars forced their way. The soaking walker jumped clear. The steepest part of the road forced the traveller to breathe hard. He passed by a mad dog, ever ready to ooze fangs, and came at last to an ancient farmway with towering hedges and lined with trees, again meant for walking. On this rough roadway there were few cars. It was a walk into the humanity of medieval times. The few cars that travelled there forced the traveller off the road, or into a field, or up a tree. The sky was almost black in the gathering dusk, and the traveller walked back into the gathering humanity. The mechanised ruin that used to be a village was left behind in the crazed 21st century. The traveller reached a small farm in which lived a very old man, speaking a very old language, and he was home again. Sometimes in the winter it began to snow. Snow all over the world, a supplication to silent and very ancient nature, uninterested in humankind. The rainbow. The now and transient darkness of hedges reluctant to admit the shreds of blight eternal wisdom had slowly become, framed to blackened pools, menacing of rain. In eternal past they had been verdant. Through high foliage the sky had been blue, the golden conversation of a light-tinted green, the sparkling eternity. Time's downpour made furtive pools of blackness from the brilliant interplay of past time with the towering trees and tracery. A natural rainbow arches blight, Arch of Babel, an unnatural sight. Prose, cameo, the moorland. Light fleeing from a dark storm upon the moor was a remnant of day held in memory. Once it was a sunlit day bathed in tranquility and ancient ways, with smooth pathways worn by the grazing of millennia. Now it was rutted and torn apart by horses wildly galloped in a storm of decadence, and by motorised vandals with tearing and spinning wheels, engines belching smoke and spitting noise. In the darkening of day the ruts were so deep that water flowed down them, streams of transparent blood, the life of language being torn asunder. Over this wilderness ruled an absentee landlord, an aristocrat crazed by greed. One dare not look around the corner of what was once a landscape of pristine beauty and colour, captured in a photograph, because nightmarish, flailing arms of turbines would sear the rapidly darkening day. A metaphor of barbarity would cut at civilization like the scythe of apocalypse. They did not even bother to paint these wind turbines. They were ghastly, skeletal, white bones of old corpses swinging on a rotating gibbet. A roaring engine threw dirt into the face of civilization. Again and again the wheels spun madly, and again it grazed the innocent walker by inches, threatening to break every bone in his body. Behind a plastic helmet lay the face of evil, yellow Stalinist eyes, the peasant slayer, the slayer of land and memory. These eyes were those of the distant aristocrat who claimed ownership hundreds of years ago, ownership of a desert devoid of words and poetry. Again and again, roar of engines sighed through the once peaceful village, past houses that were built by coal miners, but which had been sold into oblivion. They were bystanders forced to watch the mechanized destruction of history by local vandals. Authorities sat by in remote offices doing nothing, perennial gas bags. Dare not look through the windows, for you will see the ghosts of old miners staring in contempt at decadence. Dare not remember this road too well, for you will see it as unpopulated with littering cars, with cattle driven serenely along it. Dare not remember these paths too well, because they were carpets of green in a wild moorland full of life and people. Now it is full of death, apocalypse, horsemen and skeletons enclosed in plastic helmets, astride machines that roar and bell-shout sterility, devoid of language, devoid of ideas, devoid of civilization. The land is scythed to pieces, the topsoil is torn apart by four-wheelers and runs into streams, into houses that used to be the home of living people. The water swirls around their feet, extinguishes the coal fires. This is the domain of the absentee landlord, the domain of giant scythes against the almost black sky, a red and fading streak of light flees over the horizon. Dare not think of this horizon, because it will bring back the colours of a high civilization. The rotting bone of a sheep is all that is left of it, and that is soon crushed by a four-wheeler. The anonymous politicians stand by and are never found on the moor. Slowly it is utterly destroyed, and the day turns into black night. No light remains. Sleet blows coldly into the eyes.